Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. It's me, Eric, and we'll be continuing on with these legal economic topics. Now, today we'll be talking about knife crime. Knife crime has become an increasingly serious, challenging crime around the entire world, and especially in the UK. Recently, the number of knife crime offences in England and Wales has reached the highest level in 10 years, and with the year ending September 2023, there have been nearly 49,000 police-recorded offences involving a knife or other sharp instrument, growing 3,000 from 2019's 46,000. Now, I know that's a lot of statistics, but this goes to show that knife crime has experienced a steady increase and has reached an all-time high, and this becomes an even more serious issue later on. Now, to understand the variables influencing the level of knife crime, its impacts on communities, and strategies to reduce the number, we must find and first understand what knife crime actually is. Now, the best place to look up these laws, legislation of any country, and today we're focusing on the UK, is actually go on the government website. So in the UK, knife crime is essentially the possession, use, or threat of a knife or other bladed instruments, such as pieces of glass or needles. And there are various acts in the UK legislation which are associated with knife crime, and I'll go into detail in some of the following. So the first one is the Restriction of Offensive Weapons Act 1959, and it focuses on the importation, sale, hire, lending, and gifting of certain types of knives. Moving on, there is the Criminal Justice Act 1988, Section 139, which details into carrying knives in public places. Additionally, there's the Offensive Weapons Act 1996, which adds to the Criminal Justice Act of 1988 and talks about school premises. Furthermore, there's the Knife Act 1997, which details into no advertising knives for combat when you're selling these knives. And finally, there's the Prevention of Crime Act 1953, which talks about the possession of knives in public without lawful authority or reasonable excuse. Now that we've covered what actually makes up knife crime, let's go into a bit about factors affecting and encouraging knife crime. I believe we can divide it up into social and economic factors. Now, one of the main economic factors is obviously poverty, and limited economic opportunities can lead to frustration, desperation, and involvement in illegal activities for financial gain. Knife crime is especially prevalent in areas with gang activity, and the West Midlands has recently shown 178 offences per 100,000 people. Additionally, other economic factors like unemployment may also affect knife crime rates, as this ties in with poverty. Furthermore, the availability and affordability, if this increases, knife crime will likely be even more prevalent and widespread. However, we also need to consider certain social factors, such as a lack of positive role models and parental guidance, which can contribute to youths being led astray by delinquent peers. Additionally, gang culture generally encourages knife crime, as gangs often use knives as tools of intimidation, protection, and control. And peer pressure and the need for belonging can lead to individuals to engage in violent behavior. The normalization of violence may be an issue too. Now, despite all these factors influencing knife crime, we haven't actually talked about its impact on communities. When we think about knife crime, we immediately think of stabbings and murders or even assassinations, but that's not all there is to it. Knife crime endangers everyone's well-being, not just on a physical level, but also a psychological level, with all citizens, victims, or bystanders and witnesses of a knife crime being possibly subject to things like anxiety, depression, or even PTSD. These mental health problems are not to be downplayed. Additionally, knife crime can impact the reputation of an area, and if certain places get too dangerous, it may fall into a vicious cycle where crime breeds economic and social decline, breeding more and more crime. Higher skilled workers may choose to relocate, and so may businesses and firms. Less aggregate demand and economic activity in certain areas may actually cause governments to redirect and reduce funding, worsening the issue. All these problems, but how do we resolve them? One method would be early intervention and prevention. This means before law action takes place and focusing on young people before they offend. Law has to work in a way to uphold societal well-being, and this doesn't just mean punishing those who break the law, but attempting to lower the chances of anyone actually even breaking the law from the very beginning. Early prevention saves costs for many places such as the NHS, courts, and policing. Furthermore, youth institutions which support underprivileged children and young adults need to be set up and provide adequate support, with the end goal showing they don't have to carry a knife. And when we reduce people carrying knives, we reduce the people using these knives to threaten others or harm others. BBC Law and Action episode guest speaker mentioned that we have to give them incentives and support them with offered work and internships. Another one of these methods to reduce knife crime are KCPOs, and they are another measure to reduce these knife crime cases, and they are court orders imposed on young people who have committed offences to steer them away using conditions and restrictions. However, these KCPOs may not be as effective as we think, as they have been under various criticisms. Now, MP Vernon Coker in 2019 questioned whether new laws were needed to deal with knife crime rather than stronger enforcement of existing laws. The Baron Coker also questioned whether KCPOs really go far enough. Furthermore, there may be enforcement challenges and a limited scope. Professor Jennifer Hendry argues that these orders explicitly target children, unduly affect black children, and are disproportionate, stigmatizing, and restrictive. Cognitive behavioral therapy is something that I think will really help reduce the cases of knife crime. And this is when individuals are convicted or when youths are in community institutions. Instead of presenting them with educational or work opportunities, we can instead introduce them to CBT. Now, the point of cognitive behavioral therapy is that if we give them apprenticeships and work as an incentive to steer away from knife crime, if sudden shock events happen, the individual may easily revert back to their original behaviors, with 3.92 reoffenses per reoffender as a statistic. This means that we have to change things from the root and give psychological treatment to help them manage anger and develop coping mechanisms. Furthermore, another one of my ideas is introducing restorative justice circles, where these are community-based approaches that brings together individuals affected by knife crime, including victims, offenders, and community members in a facilitated dialogue. Now, the aim of these circles is to promote healing, understanding, and accountability and reconciliation. Participants have an opportunity to share their experiences, express emotions, express what they truly think, and discuss the impact of knife crime on individuals and the community as a whole. Furthermore, restorative justice circles focus on repairing harm already done, and this means that there are lots of offenders and lots of victims in the same area. They can come together and address the underlying causes of knife crime, find solutions through conversing and collective decision making. This approach aims to provide a sense of closure for victims, encourage empathy and responsibility in reoffenders and offenders themselves, and foster community cohesion to prevent further violence. Now, we've come to the end of this week's episode, but thank you so much for listening, and I hope this episode has been really informative and educational. Now, I think the main takeaway from today's episode is that knife crime is a growing issue, and we can all do our part in reducing knife crime, as mentioned, there are serious impacts, both physical and psychological, mentally. Now, despite all these factors influencing knife crime, these socio-economic factors, there are lots of initiatives and strategies we can put in place to reduce this number in the future. And we must allow society to be a good place to live in. We must allow communities nowadays to not be inflicted with knife crime and be a great place to have children, do your work, live a life. And that's what we really want at the end of the day. So thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned and see you next time.